Today's Brentwood in Business interview on Phoenix FM is proudly sponsored by Brentwood Borough Council and Bennett's Funeral Directors.
Now, I'm joined with my guest today. It's Matt Brown, who is Marketing Director of Allan Ford Brentwood. Great to chat to you.
Good morning.
Tell us about Allan Ford Brentwood. Tell us about what you do there, how long you've been there.
Well, as Allan Ford, we've been there since the mid-80s. However, we've recently redeveloped the location. It's now sharing the footprint with Kia. So we opened up Allan Kia in April 2021, and that's now running alongside our Ford operation in London Road there.
Excellent. And so tell us about what do you do there?
So in terms of my role, my role is a little bit is a wider remit than just that location. So I'm the group marketing director. We have 38 locations throughout the Midlands, Southeast, and Southwest, and we operate franchises with motor vehicle manufacturers such as Ford, you know, Kia, Mazda, Suzuki, Hyundai, and we also operate 8 transit centres throughout the UK also.
So this is a place where people go to buy cars. Can they do sort of rental? You do Motability as well, don't you?
Yeah, so we retail new and used vehicles. We service, we also have accident repair centres, so we repair them if they come into, you know, in an accident, involved in an accident. We also operate the Motability scheme, which obviously gives freedom and independence to less agile people than ourselves. Those are the areas that we cover.
Tell us because I know, talking off air, you're very passionate about the business and what you do. So where did your interest come? Where did you get sparked with cars? Was it something you used to do when you were a kid, or did you repair cars back in the day?
Yeah, that's a bit. That's a good question. So, I think I sort of came out of the womb, you know, looking and enjoying cars. I actually, fun enough, sort of thought it was a hobby right up until I was sort of 16, 17, and took my options at school to be a chef. But I realised I probably wouldn't have much of a social life being a chef, having sort of done some work experience with it. And the car thing, I wanted to start with to be a car salesman. That's what I was attracted to start with. But at 16, you know, that opportunity wasn't going to present itself. So I went into the workshop as an apprentice technician. I then became a fully qualified technician, you know, sort of 3 or 4 years later. And then, you know, to cut a long story short, I ended up winding my way through to the sort of front office part of it. So service advisor, service manager. And then in about the year 2000, I left the sort of dealership world and started to work for online agencies in and around London. And again, fast forwarding a few years, I ended up at an agency which I stayed at for sort of 6 to 8 years that had an automotive connection. So we were creating and designing websites for motor vehicle manufacturers and their dealer networks right across Europe. And then one day I was sent into Essex Ford at Dunton, which many of you will know, and for a meeting there. And, I was tasked with getting them on, move them up further up the grid in the online arena. And I gave them a proposal to do that, a cost proposal. And they said, well, if we're going to spend that amount of money, we may as well do it ourselves. So when do you want to start?
Oh, nice.
So I actually have gone... nice story is I have gone from being an apprentice technician all the way through to now becoming a group marketing director of, 38 dealerships, and, we now employ up to sort of 1,500 people. So it's obviously, it's not something I think about every day, but now you're making me think about it on reflection. It's a good story.
It is. I thought you were going to say that. I thought you were going to say it was always going to be the cars. So on a day-to-day business, what is your day like at Allan Ford? What's the typical day?
It's one of the few departments, in our business that has a remit, right across the board. So obviously our remit is to market. So that's creating inquiries, etc., for all of our departments. So whether it's service or sales or the body shops, etc., right across the range of franchises, plus you've got all of those locations operating in local communities. So there's a responsibility there for us to work with those communities. So, you know, we're not, you know, any day of the week, you know, the subject, every other phone call is a different subject from a different department, from a different location. Mm. I quite often quote an analogy, it's like working in a Greek restaurant and trying to keep, you know, lots of plates spinning. And on every plate is a different meal. And but it, it, you know, I've never really been one for clock watching, which is just as well, because, you know, you don't, you know, you're so busy, really, you're not conscious of time. Mm. And the disciplines, if you like, that we're predominantly focusing from a marketing perspective are largely online now. So we do some offline activities like sales events, etc. But a lot of our work is done through social media and through, you know, internet channels.
And how do you engage with the local community? Do you do different sort of, are you sponsoring different things? Do you have events during the year?
Yeah, we're passionate and very focused on, you know, on particularly on the fact that we're conscious that, you know, the products that we sell and some of the invoices that we unfortunately we have to produce, you know, whether it's service, etc., then, you know, some of them can be of large amounts of money. So we are conscious of the fact that we're taking out of the community, and we've got, you know, a huge responsibility to be seen, and we have a desire to put things back into the community. So we do, I receive, you know weekly, you know, requests, you know, for help. You know, again, if you think specifically in the last sort of 4 years, you know some people's fortunes and, you know, have changed, and we all continue even now, obviously, with even today's events. You know, there are what can be best described as headwinds that we're all having to encounter. So we take a measured approach to what we do in the offer and the invitations that we take up, and we try to balance it. So we're sponsoring and we partner with a number of children's football teams or sporting teams. We've been associated and sponsors premium sponsors of Essex cricket for nearly 20 years now. Yeah. And we also do some slightly different things. So we are the sponsor, or we sponsor and support the British skeleton and bobsleigh team, which are based down in Bath University.
Oh, right.
So we provide them vehicles, and, you know, as you can well imagine, you know, we don't have the weather conditions for them, so they're often traveling in Europe through the Alps to test events and competitions, and, you know, supply the vehicles. And it's quite a nice fit for us because of the vehicles they're driving are hybrids, and they're driving through, like I say, winter wonderland, if you like.
Yep.
And you know, if we stick with, you know, some of the emissions or fossil fuel vehicles, then, you know, that kind of entity, if you pause for a moment, you know, there's potential it could cease to exist if everything melts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nice fit for us because it's a good way of us being able to connect with them and have a sense a backdrop of environment and climate change, and working with them and providing them the right vehicles so that they can turn up at a competition in something that's sustainable and, you know, in a sense, sort of politically correct.
Now, we were talking off air about electric cars, which I don't have much. I've got in my mind electric cars, you think, oh, you know, are they not going to be as fast? Are they difficult to charge? And we had a chat off air, which I want you to sort of explain to people about electric cars, because there's, I think when you think, the easiest thing, you just, I'll get a fuel car because I can pull up at the petrol station, fill my car up, I know what I'm doing. But with electric cars, there's quite a lot of information I don't think the general public really know, which we were chatting about. So tell us about electric cars and why you're so passionate about them.
Well, it's a huge subject, and, you know, obviously like most new subjects, you know, there are different opinions and emotions that sort of navigate way around the whole subject. But I've been driving an electric vehicle for 10 months. I've been in the motor industry now for over 30 years, and in that time, obviously, seen, you know, a lot of different cars, some exciting, some fast, slow, etc. So lots of different, a whole wide spectrum of vehicles. But I have to say, actually, that, you know, that within the first sort of 30 seconds or 50 seconds of driving an electric vehicle for the first time, one, I vow anybody not to talk out loud. because the sensation, the experience is so different. Mm. I think it's a bit of a no-brainer, really. You know, it is, they're quieter, they are clearly more efficient, you know, they are zero tailpipe emissions, and it's almost like how the car, you know, should have always been, really.
Mm. And you were saying they're fast. My mind, I always thought electric cars, you put your foot down on the pedal and it would sort of be a bit like a milk float, in fact, where you remember the old milk, yeah, and making that, but they go. You say you put your foot down, they're off.
You know, when people talk about electric vehicles, obviously it's a new technology, it's a whole new thing. Yeah. But it's funny you should mention the milk float, because it was way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
So they were charging them up overnight and then going out and doing the rounds in the morning, and they were fully electric.
Yeah.
Okay, we don't have milk necessarily. Not everybody has milk delivered to their doorstep. But, if you think about the Amazons of this world, you know, perhaps that's something that, you know, they need to look at closer and go back to. Mm. You mentioned it's not, I mean, the first thing I think is funny you should mention, really, the performance of an electric vehicle, and that is, you know, depending on, you know, whether you're a speed merchant or not, but they are, you know, I think frighteningly, in a sense, fast to start with. The first thing, the most abundant thing, is that they are instantly responsive. So if there's anybody out there that that had a scare electric set as a child, or still has one now as an adult, then that's as close an analogy and close as an experience. If you haven't driven an electric vehicle but you have, you know, been in the proximity of a scale electric set, then there are similarities, in as much as that an electric car in a straight line from a standing start, oh my god, you know, it'll push you back in your seat. Yeah. That is an area that I think that may need some sort of control, specifically with young drivers and maybe older drivers. They're very rapid acceleration, but when they get to the upper ends, they sort of flatten out quicker than a fossil fuel vehicle, i.e. a petrol or diesel, almost keep going until it blows up type scenario. But an electric vehicle will flatten out, because there comes a point where the motor is going as fast as it can, and that's it.
Yeah.
Having said that, you know, I think that the performance of an electric vehicle is more usable, because, you know, in everyday life, you know, you're not charging around flat out, you know, it stop start, and you know, it's a very smooth affair. They only, as I said to you earlier, they don't have manual gearboxes, they're automatic, and they only have effectively one gear, so they're very smooth as well. And as you brake and as you decelerate, that resistance, so if you think about it, when you brake there is some resistance there, then that creates something called kinetic energy, which is then harvested and put back into the battery. So the electric vehicle will, you know, recycle, if you like, or regenerate some of the energy that can harvest off of you decelerating.
And also, just to mention quickly, just about the charging, because I thought you just plug it in one place, there's different tariffs you can be on. There are different chargers that are faster than others as well.
Yeah, that is quite again. And you know, I'm not, you know, here, and I don't want to, you know, paint the picture that electric vehicles are the be end and end all, and you know, it's without issue. I mean, there are you know, educational challenges around electric vehicles. We are, as a dealer or of new vehicles, we're well placed, I think, to be the authority, if you like, on information. So people that, you know, are worried or thinking about changing, then by all means get in touch with us, and you know, we will guide you, not, you know, push you or sell to you. We know that we've got a responsibility to educate the mass audience in order for us all to eventually, you know, migrate over to cleaner vehicles. But the charging side is I think fair to say is probably quite complex for non-technically minded people, or people that, you know, out there that, and there's a lot of them, that just look at us cars going from A to B. At the moment, you pull up at a fossil fuel petrol station, you probably fill up without giving it too much thought, and within 7 or 8 minutes, providing someone's not buying their shopping, you're on your way again. With electric vehicle charging, it's very different. And the first thing that's different is that a petrol pump in Brentwood dispenses fuel roughly, you know, to the same rate as something in Aberystwyth or even in another country. So you don't have to give it any thought. You just, the sensation is the same. Whereas, but with electric vehicle charging, the electric vehicle chargers are different. They output energy at different, at different rates.
Yeah.
So, for instance, a home charger. So typically, a home charger is sort of 7 kilowatts. That's how energy is measured in kilowatts. There are chargers out there. For instance, there's a new electric fuel station, effectively. So think of a petrol station, but only electric.
Yep.
There's one of those nearby in in Braintree. So again, it's worth having a look at because it's, you know, it's an innovation. It's in the midst of a industrial revolution almost. So they have chargers there that will put 100 miles in an electric vehicle in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But is that, you know, that you'll pay more, you know, obviously, like anything on the public charging network.
Yeah.
You know, you will pay more than you will at home. At home, you don't pay as much VAT or in energy as you would on the public charging network to start with.
Yeah.
Which means it is cheaper to charge overnight. Some of the energy companies out there provide EV tariffs, so I have that, one of those myself at home. And I charged the vehicle up overnight, so that inconvenience about charging and range anxiety, well, what you need is planning. So I charge overnight, and when I wake up in the morning, the car's, you know, nearly charged or whatever, or fully charged, and I would have paid the lower rate because of that, because my energy tariff between half midnight and half four in the morning drops to about 7p, sort of a kilowatt. During the working day, you know, it's nearer something around, you know, sort of 23p or more. So I can actually charge my electric vehicle at 0% to 100%. I would, because it's 7 kilowatts, it's quite a slow charger, then that would probably take, that would be something like 2 or 3 nights overnight charging. But it cost me about £7.50 to charge it, and that'll give me about 300 miles. So it's about planning.
Yes.
There is knowledge involved. It's quite liberating, to be honest with you. You know, driving, you know, when I take my son to on a Friday night to McDonald's, sitting in the drive-thru, obviously we're emitting no emissions, but every other car in the drive-thru is sitting there with the engine running and emitting. So it is something to look forward to when more of us, you know, are driving electric vehicles. Obviously, clearly there'll be, you know, there's a good impact, a positive impact on the planet, and it starts to reverse some of the damage, hopefully, that we're causing on an everyday basis. But it is a complex area, charging, and I think there are things that, you know, certainly that the government need to do. For instance, you know, when you go to the chargers, I can only think of one in the last 10 months that have told me on the outside of it with a label what the output of the charger is.
Yeah.
They need to put a grid on the side of the chargers, which then tells you that whatever that output is, how many minutes and how many miles you would get. So it needs to become more intuitive, because at the moment, it's probably fair to say that the people that have electric vehicles are getting electric vehicles are sort of innovators, or maybe people that have an appetite for technology. And what we need to do, clearly, to get mass adoption is to make it far more intuitive, so the man, woman on the street can also understand it.
Thank you. I really want to, because I've thought about electric cars, and there you have, from Matt, most of the information that you might have, or you probably wouldn't even know of. You hear of electric cars and you don't necessarily think about what's behind actually owning one and the charging and etc. So that's brilliant. Thank you so much. And the website, actually, we must get your website in before we go.
Yeah, so our website address is allenmotorgroup.co.uk. You'll obviously find information on there about all of the subjects I've just covered. But in particular, it's probably worth highlighting that there is, if you visit allenmotorgroup.co.uk, you look about halfway down the page, you'll see the manufacturer logos. On the right-hand side, furthest right-hand side, there's a what we call a jump point and a logo there for something called Get Switched On, which is actually a website that we've just recently built and launched, which basically is designed to educate, you know, us all about electric vehicles. So if I've spoken too quickly or I haven't covered a point, then that'll be well worth visiting, you know, that Get Switched On website, and which is sort of neutral in a sense. It's not selling vehicles, it's educating you about the whys and the wherefores and everything else about electric vehicles. And obviously we'll we'll evolve it and keep it updated over time. So that's one thing you could take a look at.